Hello everyone, welcome back to Holding Fast to Faith. I'm your host Brett Hill, and I'm going to pick up today where we left off on the last episode in Revelation chapter 2 as we're talking about Jesus talks with the churches. We got verses 1 through 17 done in the first episode, and so here in part 2 we're going to pick up on verse 18. We're here at the pastor, as Jesus is talking to the pastor of the church of Thyatira in verse 18. So if you don't have your Bibles, pause the podcast, go get your Bible, come back and join us, Revelation chapter 2, verse 18, as we start. I'm still reading from the King James Version. Chapter 2 of Revelation, verse number 18. And unto the angel, the pastor of the church of Thyatira, write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and, he says, thy works again. And then he says, and the last to be more than the first. So he's saying, your works are even better now than what they used to be. Your works are getting better as you go. That's a really good sign, because you're showing that you're closer to me. You're showing that you love me. You're showing that you're putting some faith to your feet and doing the things that I've asked you to do. But in verse 20, he says, notwithstanding, in other words, but, I have a few things against thee too, because thou suffereth that woman Jezebel, which call herself a prophet, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. So that word suffereth right there is the Greek word eo. It's Strong's G1439, meaning to allow one to do as they wish, to allow or to permit. Jesus said, you have allowed Jezebel to operate in my church. And this statement, to teach and to seduce, is saying Jezebel is seducing people in my church to follow her deception. They're committing fornication, and committing fornication is a spiritual implication here, meaning church folks are being unfaithful to Christ by becoming intimate with seducing spirits in my church. And this eating thing sacrificed to idols, listen, it means that they're listening to and taking in the doctrine, the statements, the lies, the falsified understanding being provided from false gods through Jezebel's seducing ways. So Jesus goes on in verse 21, he says, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she did not repent. So he said, this word her right here represents everybody who follows her seductive ways. So he's talking about not only the Jezebel spirit here, he's talking about the people that are seduced by Jezebel. That spirit that's in them, he's saying, I gave those people space to repent, and they have not repented. So that actual spirit of Jezebel, you need to understand, isn't going to repent. Jezebel is a project manager, if you will. Jezebel's not just one single spirit. She's a project manager. She's been given an assignment by her boss, Satan, and she recruits others to help her complete this project. She'll go out and recruit spirits to help her influence human beings and influence people in the church and people outside the church to meet her objective. And so she recruits people to help her while she oversees the project, just like a project manager would here in a corporate office in the United States. And so she recruits spirits like the spirit of manipulation, the spirit of control, the spirit of deception, the spirit of side-taking or division. She recruits spirits of name-calling and the spirit of destruction. She recruits the spirit of victimization. So when she gets called out, she plays the role of a victim. And this is just a few of her best workers and the best people who helps her get her job done, as she uses these spirits to influence people in the church so that her project to control the church will be completed. Because if Jezebel controls the church, Jesus don't. Jesus don't have control of his church anymore if you allow Jezebel to manipulate in there, because if Jesus can't have the whole thing, there's not unity in the middle of the church. So Jezebel's objective here is to gain control of the church. And Jesus gives a stern warning to those working with her, to those that's working in her project with her, to those that's influenced by her evil spirits and by her manipulation. Verse 22 says, "Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her," he's saying everybody that commits adultery with her, that adultery is, you've been married to me, you become my bride, and since you've been married to me, you've been running around on me and not being faithful with me and sleeping with these seducing spirits. You've been entertaining and being intimate with these seducing spirits. You've not been faithful to me, Jesus. So he's saying these are Christians, Christian people. If you're not a Christian, you're fornicating spiritually. If you're a Christian, you're committing adultery spiritually. And he's saying these people that's committing adultery, Christians in the church, he said, "I'm going to cast them into a bed and cause great tribulations unless they repent of their deeds." Now that Greek word that's used here, bed, is kleine. It's Strong's G2825. It means a couch specifically designed to carry sick people on. When you become sick, you wind up on a kleine. It's a word that our ambulances have derived their word gurney from. It's how we recline. It's kleine is klein, where we got our word recline from. So he's going to lay them in a sick bed because of committing adultery with Jezebel. And he's going to put them into great tribulation and trouble unless they repent. Listen to the grace that he's given here. He's not going to do this if they will repent. But he said they didn't repent. Those that didn't repent, this is what you're going to get. I'm going to lay you and everybody else that's tied up with Jezebel in a sick bed and bring great tribulation upon you. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to put her followers and everybody that's influenced by her followers and by her on a sick bed because they were married or joined to me, but were being unfaithful in their marriage to me by becoming intimate with the spirits of Jezebel. So I'm going to put them through great sickness, disease, and hardships unless, make sure you see the grace here, unless they repent of their actions. Jesus is providing a way out. He's trying to stop them from being involved in what they don't need to be involved in. And he's saying to the preacher here at this church, you need to get this word out to them. Let them know that I'm coming. Let them know I'm going to sneak up on them without warning. And if they don't stop it, this is what's going to happen to them. And he continues his stern warning in verse 23. He says, I will kill her children. Those are the people who come forth from the evil seed sown by her deception and start deceiving even more people. All the people that become children of the seed of the deception of her. He's not talking about her getting married and physically having children. He's talking about the people that follow her leadership. He said, I'm going to kill those people with death. That's signifying eternal death of hell. And all the churches then will know that I am he which searcheth the reins of the hearts. Now I want you to know here, this word death here is a Greek word that means thanatos. It's the Strong's G2288, meaning the implied future misery of hell. He's going to put you in an eternal death. Jesus don't do anything that's temporary. The Word of God is eternal everywhere he goes. If you don't change your ways and quit following Jezebel, he says, I'm going to put you in hell. And that word reins right there, just like the horse's reins, the Greek word reins is nephros. It's Strong's G3510, and it means the innermost thoughts and feelings and purposes of the souls. And as our little bitty thoughts control us, you could talk about a horse, a really good horse that is broken by reins, that if you barely touch the reins of a horse, that horse senses the slightest little pull on those reins that you're bumping just a little bit, and that horse will nudge itself in that direction just barely. But if you pull on those reins real hard, that horse will make a hard turn in that direction. But Jesus says, I search the innermost thoughts and feelings, and the slightest little attention, the slightest little thing, if there's the slightest portion of one of these spirits of Jezebel in your heart that is unrepented for, I will kill that seed that is in you with the misery of hell. So look at how Jesus finishes this particular sentence, because he wraps this up. He says, I will give every one of you, he's talking to the people in the church, the Christians in the church, I'll give every one of you according to your works. And remember that word works right there. It implies your faith on him, how you believed and how you trusted him and how you followed him. So if you're hanging around with Jezebel and listening to her and being persuaded by her, your faith in Jesus Christ ain't that good at all. You're following the wrong person. So guess what he's got for you? That's what he's saying here. And then he goes on, he says in verse number 24, he says, "But unto you I say, and unto the rest, the remnant, those that's left over in Thyatira, as many of you have not this doctrine." He's saying, in other words, all the rest of you that's not partaking in this doctrine that Jezebel's bringing into the church, he says, all of you that don't know the depths of Satan that's in the middle of the church like these people are speaking about, he said, "I won't put on you any other burdens. I won't bother you with anything else. Your faith in me will do just fine. Hold on to what you've had." He said in verse number 25, he says, "But that which you have already, hold fast on to it until you see me. Keep believing in my doctrine without wavering." All of those people that's not following Jezebel, I'm not going to put any more burden on you except to hold on to the faith that you already have in me. And he says in verse 26, "And he that overcometh," he that gets the victory, "and keeps my works unto the end." Listen to me here. That word "end" means till you see me again. Jesus said, "I am the beginning and the end." Jesus is the end. So he says, "He that overcomes and keeps my works until you see me again, to you I will give power over the nations." And that word "give" right there is a Greek word "didomi." It is Strong's G1325, meaning to appoint someone to an office. He says, "I'm going to give you an appointment to an office." That word "power" right there is the Greek word "exousia," is Strong's G1849, meaning jurisdiction, a ruler, a magistrate. He's going to give you jurisdiction, an appointed office of jurisdiction over the nations. You hear this? He's going to appoint you an office of jurisdiction over the nations. And let's look at this a little bit further, because he says, "And you shall rule them," those people in the nations, "with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." So listen, that rude rule, the word "rule" here is not what most people think of here, because it's a Greek word, poimaino. Poimaino. And it means, it's Strong's G4165, it means to feed, to tend to a flock, to keep sheep, to nourish, to supply the requisites for the soul's need. So he's going to say here that I am going to appoint you an office of jurisdiction over the nations, and you will shepherd them. You will feed them, you will keep them, you will nourish them just the same way I do. You're going to be a sheep, you're going to be a shepherd over them. And that word "rod" is the Greek word "harabdos." It's Strong's G4464, meaning a shepherd's staff or a king's scepter. A shepherd's staff that symbolizes a leadership, just like David. And that word "iron" there literally means the strength of iron, which means it's unbreakable, eternal, lasting. And then that word, You need to understand this. I love this last word where he says, let me go back to it. "He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and the vessels of potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." When I looked up this word "shivers," I just about rejoiced until I couldn't contain myself, because it's a Greek word, suntribo. Suntribo is Strong's G4937. And it literally means to put Satan underfoot as a conqueror, trample over him, the victory over him. Jesus said, "I'm going to make Satan, I'll make the earth my footstool and put Satan under my feet." This word "shivers" right here means that you will put Satan under your feet and trample on him and show that you have conquered him with Jesus Christ. So let's put all of this together, because Jesus is saying to his church, listen closely now, "To he that overcometh," he that gets the victory, "and keeps my works until you see me again, I will appoint you as a ruler over a jurisdiction within the nations, and you will tend to that flock. You will feed them. You will nurse them with my words as a shepherd. You will provide for them everything that their soul needs. I will put a staff in your hand, symbolizing the authority of the king in which you serve and represent. It will serve as a reminder that it is my strength, it's my power that has once and for all trampled over Satan and made him my footstool by the power that my Father, God in heaven, has given me. And he goes on to say in verse 28, he says, I will give him, my Father's, who he's speaking to, the morning star. When God created, he created in 6 days. He spoke Christ into the world by saying, let there be light. He created and said, the evening, which was the darkness, and the morning, which was the light, was the first day, symbolizing that the world would start out in darkness. There would be darkness in the world, but as you come through the, he says that the joy comes in the morning. And Jesus said that I'll give you my joy, my lasting joy. So he's saying here we're going to end up in light. And he says my Father's going to get the morning star back. He created and said the evening and darkness was the first day. And the word star here is the Greek word aster. Strong's G792, it literally means literally strewn over the sky. You will see it everywhere. There'll not be a place where you won't see this star. It's insinuating that Jesus' radiant light will be shining. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of His light, the Spirit of Jesus Christ will be strewn all over the sky, all over the earth, and it will be everywhere. You'll not go any place to where you won't see it. And Jesus is saying to His Father, He says, Father, I, your messenger that you've sent, have completed your task that you have started from the foundations of the earth. The light upon this earth that you have desired from the beginning of time has been restored to this earth just exactly the way you wanted it to be, and I have finished it up, and here it is, right here, this morning star. It belongs to you. I present it to you, my Father. And he says in verse 29 again, he that has an ear, everybody that recognizes my voice, listen to what I'm saying to you. Here, listen to what I'm saying to the churches. Jesus has said, Satan is defeated and Jesus is forever the morning star, the light of the world from the beginning of time. And God the Father has got his garden and his earth and his creation right back the way that he created it from the beginning. And Jesus is the reason for it. He's the forever reigning king, and we will rule and reign with him just like he said he will. And right there in this chapter, listen, churches, this is chapter 2. We ain't even got into chapter 3 yet. We're 2 chapters into this, and hear how good it is. And we've already seen multiple times that Jesus has got a crown of life for us. Jesus has got us to be able to share in what he provided in the cross. Jesus has provided us a scepter to rule and reign and to have a position with him upon this earth and represent him with a staff in our hand and help him shepherd the people of this earth. And the light of God will shine on this earth continuously, never to go away again, and Satan is defeated and under our feet, and we're just in chapter 2. Amen. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you. Look forward to chapter 3 in Revelation, and so hang on to this. Play it over and over and over. Rejoice in the Word of God, what Jesus is saying to you, and we'll see you on the next episode.